Hallelujah. He is worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. My wife is telling you the truth. She worked all week, and I'm working on that lazy streak in me. I think God's going to deliver me from that. I tell you what, she can outrun me any day, Brother Reno, and I'll shout the victory on that as soon as I get rested. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're serving a God that's well able, church. I tell you what God's done around here, I really hate to say anything, but I don't plan on preaching no long time, but I do have I think the scripture that I was going to read tonight to go along with Sister Marty's message. How many appreciates folks that obey the Lord? Amen. Anytime a pastor gets to the point that they feel like they run the show and they control things, that's when things are going to go south for them. I figured out one thing. I don't control anything, and the Holy Ghost better control me if I surrender. So praise God that we're all in this together. How many knows that? Amen. You think, well, I'm just a little fella preacher. I don't amount to a whole lot. If you think little things on the body don't hurt, just grab a hold of your little finger and have somebody break it for you. It'll hurt. You're important. Everybody here in the body of Christ is important. People look and they say, oh, the pastor's most. No. The pastor's not most important. It takes all of us. And then we get even farther now. We got area churches, you know, in our area. We're blessed with great churches in our part of the country here. We're all part of the body of Christ. And one day we're going to leave this earth. And there's going to be a shout like we've never seen before. And we're going to have things we encounter that we've not even thought of. Because he said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And where I've gone, there you can be also. And he also says in one place, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man. So in other words, I can't imagine what he's got for me. But folks, we're still here. The devil's still on a rampage, and my God's still delivering. Amen. He's still able, praise God, to raise up that standard when the flood comes. He's still able to give us that victory when we ain't had one in a long time. We was walking up the, I was trying to keep up with it, going into one of them stores yesterday. And I said, you know what you done? I said, you worked 5 days today. And I tried to stop and think when the last time she'd been able to work a full week. And I'll tell you what, I could not remember. But I do remember this last week. Ah, somebody, oh, you say I ain't had a victory and I don't know when. Praise God. Don't worry about the last time. Amen. Say, I'm going to have one today. I've got one coming tonight. I've got one coming I can't imagine. Praise God. Don't look at what's behind you. Look at what's ahead of you. We're serving a God today that doesn't condemn you for your sins. Are you with me? He delivers you. He said, Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn this world. I come to save this world. We look at it and we say, oh my Lord, this one's worse than that one. No sin. Every one of us here was born a sinner. Amen. As Sister Thelma said, praise God. But when we become in Christ, we become somebody that's not normal. We become somebody that's got the upper hand on this world. Why? Because Christ is our Redeemer. He's our soon coming King. And praise God, He dwells inside of me while His blood is applied to my life. How about you? Can you stand up and say, I'm blood bought? Glory to God. I'm not who I was. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Anybody love the Lord here tonight? You say, woo, preacher, this is getting a little bit too emotional around here. Hallelujah. Hey, man, you'd have to talk to God about that. He's the one designed this with emotions. And I'm here to tell you this. When we come in contact with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there's something going to happen. You take a 15-year-old girl, stand up behind the pulpit and preach the uncompromised word of God. Amen. Let somebody know they must be born again or they're going to go to hell. Amen. Let the young people know you need a baptism of the Holy Ghost. If that don't stir your spoon, there's something wrong with your bowl. Amen. If that doesn't stir our hearts, there's something wrong with us. If we come into a place like we've come here tonight, I'm here to tell you, I believe everybody here has felt something. You say, oh, preacher, I didn't feel a thing. Well, can I say this? If you've not, don't base it on your feelings because God is real. He is real. We talked about Felix this morning. He said, oh, Felix said to Paul, he said, well, there'll be some other convenient time. I'll call on you. There's not a better, more convenient time than right now. This is the convenient time. I want to look in Jeremiah chapter 29. I don't know how long I'll talk. Maybe not very long. But I tell you what, folks. When the Holy Ghost begins to move in our services, if you got a need, just hit these altars. Are you with me? Jeremiah chapter 29, I'm talking about a captivity that's going to stop. I'm talking about a captive. I'm going to say this again. The Word said that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. If you stand here tonight blood-bought, it doesn't matter what you've gone through in life. It doesn't matter how many battles you're going through. I shared with one tonight. It doesn't matter how many times you failed. Amen. God looks at your heart. There's nobody any worse, in my opinion, than King David. How about it? Committed adultery, had the woman's husband killed so he could have her. How much worse can it get for that? And you can find in the Word, God said, he said, that man's after, it's a man after my own heart. You know why? Because David didn't blame nobody. When he realized what he had done, he said, oh, praise God. I am that man. He realized right there it was time. Amen. His sister Marty said, this word is about not about the world. It's about us turning back to God. Captivity. In verse 11 says, now I know, let's go back to verse 10 in chapter 29. Now this is what the Lord gave me this afternoon, and I believe it goes along what's been said here tonight. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. How many likes to have a visitation? Glory to God. Amen. I tell you, if you hadn't had nobody come by and see you in a while, you'd be glad to hear somebody driving down your road, wouldn't you? If you've not felt the presence of God in a long time, it'd be good to feel a little doodad run up your back, wouldn't it? It'd be good to feel just a little bit of a touch that you've not felt in a while. Praise God. He said, I'll visit you, hallelujah, and perform my good word toward you in causing you to turn to this place. For I know your thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Hallelujah. That's some preaching ground right there. An expected end that shall, then shall ye call upon me. There's that verb again. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me. And here we go, another verb. And I will hearken. Glory unto you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said, praise God. I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me. And when ye shall search for me, here we go again. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again unto the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Let us pray. Father, tonight, as we stand in your presence, I thank you for this service. Lord, as we spend just a little while longer on praising you and what you can do and what you will do in our lives. And we lift our hands tonight unworthily, but in praise of you, Lord, tonight. Thank you for what you're doing in our church, Lord. If there's one here that doesn't know you, I pray, God, continue to tug at their heartstring as an everlasting love continue to draw. Lord, today, those that might be going through a battle, I pray a special blessing. Thank you for the songs. Thank you for the testimonies of your word we felt here tonight in this place. And Lord, we're going to praise you for it. Anoint us to preach your word, and we'll give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. Little did I remember the verbs in this scripture until I began to read. You know what? As I was praying this afternoon, I believe that God knew those verbs in there. And I believe he knew that Sister Marty was going to expound on those verbs, that we shall and he will. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Captivity tonight was what was happening for 70 years in their lives. The word came and said there's going to come an end to this. And then you're going to become to call upon my name. And then there's going to be something happen in your life. Now, what about today, preacher? What about today? We have folks today in our churches that are captive. Now, it's going to get a little stiff for me, but that's all right. God said to preach this tonight. Captivity is sometimes brought on because of our actions. Sometimes we're oppressed. I didn't say possessed. I said oppressed. There's a difference. I'm not possessed. I'm going to say this, and if you disagree, we'll talk about this later. I don't see how a Christian or blood-bought child of the King could be possessed by a demon. I just thought I'd throw that in there. maybe for no reason. But a blood-bought child of the king can be oppressed by the devil. Praise God. Samson was a man that was called out. He had very strict instructions on what not to do, and he decided, amen, to neglect what he was told and done what he wanted to do. And therefore, what happened to Samson? He had some very stiff consequences, Sister Thelma, because he did not do what God said. Now, he said in our word here, he said, listen, if you call on me and seek me, you shall find something, because I will hear your cry. Praise God. Samson found himself being wrapped up in the world and enticed by Delilah and the things of this world. And as he found those things in his life, he became captive to those things. Preach it, preacher. I feel something behind me tonight, and I know who it is. It's the Holy Ghost telling me to let this go. Amen. There's a captivity in our church world today, amen, that has our preachers behind the pulpit bound. They cannot preach the uncompromised word in fear of hurting somebody's feelings. Amen. I'm here to tell you it's time that we step up like John the Baptist did and said, praise God, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, because there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to loose. And amen, that same Jesus that come after him had the same message. It's a time that we come back to God and realize we cannot willfully walk, amen, in the hands of the Philistines as Samson did and expect the blessings of God to be upon our life. Why? Because he said, if you shall call on me and seek me, there's going to be something happen. I will, praise God, an action verb, I will come on the scene and touch your life. I guess if you wanted to shout, you should have shouted a while ago, because I feel the preacher in the house tonight. Amen. Captivity is where we're at tonight. Amen. He said to him, been in captive for 70 years. Amen. If you're here tonight and desiring to feel the sweet Holy Ghost sweep through your life like you've not felt in a long time, I'm here to proclaim tonight that as you seek him, praise God, if you shall do that, there's going to be something begin to happen. He's going to begin to turn his ear towards you and hear your cry and begin to come on the scene. He didn't come here to tell you what you're doing wrong. He came here to restore you and put the fire back in your life like you've not had even before in your life. Jesus come, praise God, to set free, not to condemn. You say, preacher, you tell him, the Lord don't condemn me so I can do what I want to. Praise God. His word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Cuts in and cuts out as it comes. This word will cut us deeply. Why do you think we discipline our children? If you think God's going to let us do what we want to, we got a 17-year-old son here. Most teenagers would think they was in captivity to live around our house. Now you see, there's no book out there on how to raise a kid except the Bible. And there's no 1, 2, 3, 4, everything works, except first you put them in God's hands, plead the blood, and you walk like God wants you to walk and set an example. How do you lead? You don't push a rope, you pull a rope. I can't tell you how to do it, but I can show you what God says. I can command him to do this and do that, but if he don't see that in my life, I'm just kind of spitting in the wind. Now you say, well, what do you mean, preacher? Jesus didn't come. He's not asked us in this word. We can find this word from cover to cover. You cannot find one place in this word where Jesus will ask you to do one thing that he didn't do. Amen. He sweat. He prayed until his sweat becomes great drops of blood. He's fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He resisted when the enemy come in like a flood. Praise God. He won't ask you to do anything that he's not done. Glory. You say, preacher, I don't want to come to that altar. I don't want to humble myself. There's nothing any more humbling than a Savior that would allow himself to be spit upon and scorned and beaten. So your pride stinks. Whew, that was strong, wasn't it? Pride comes before a fall. You think, or I might think, that I'm somebody special or somebody come. I'm nothing but a man captive, if that be the case. I'm nothing but a woman captive if I think I can do it myself, because Jesus came and died that you and I might have this captivity of sin that we've been born with to be released in our life. Why? Not because we got money, not because we're good, but because He loves you. He's the supreme sacrifice, praise God. But He said, if you will call, if you shall call on My name, amen, He said, I will hear you. Captivity. There's folks captive today because of things been said 25 years ago. Let me go back and hit this real quick. I said about William, you know, this is not how Jesus did. He didn't say, don't do what I do what I say. That's the problem with raising kids. Don't do what I do what I say, little Johnny. Little Johnny will turn around and do just exactly what you're doing. Then you say, what happened to my kids? Well, what happened? Can you teach them right and they do wrong? Absolutely. Don't beat yourself down, church, because He's got a choice. He's a preacher's kid. Everybody knows preacher's kids are the meanest. You sure your dad wasn't a preacher, Brother Elder? You sure your dad wasn't a preacher? Captivity is what has brought the church world where we're at today. We've talked about old time pain. We felt the power of God around here. We're gaining ground. Don't go home saying we're just old. We're drying up on the bone. No, we're not. The vine's alive. Let's get in the vine. Praise God. There's still some leaves coming out on that vine, Sister Geneva. There's still some coals of fire, amen, down deep. If that fan begins to fan, praise God. The Holy Ghost, amen, He's still moving and raining in our lives. If we'll just move up a little closer. None of us are perfect. Our children are not perfect. He's not perfect. I'm not claiming this at all. I'm claiming victory, but He's going to have a choice to make to live for God or not. It don't matter if the daddy's a preacher and a pastor. It doesn't matter. That's His choice. He can make a wrong decision. Don't put Him up. He can fail as quick as anybody. There's not but one perfect. That was Jesus. But I've got to live. And this is my whole point. Jesus led us and gave us advice by example. He showed us, Brother Bob, how to conduct our lives. Captivity is going to come to an end when you and I call on Him. Not a minute sooner. When did I get saved? When I felt His presence and I felt His tug on my life as a young boy. And Brother Reno, I felt that tug. And you know, it's a blessing to get saved when you're young. It's a battle to get saved when you're older. But it's all the same results. Born again. Heaven's our destination. I found myself realizing that I was captive and born a sinner. God saved me through the blood of Christ. And my life was never the same. Did I back up on Him? I know some folks don't believe you can backslide. But you know, I don't argue about the word, but I believe the word spells it out. We better be careful unless we back up. If there's a cold and a hot and a lukewarm, that's three different people. So you and I need to walk accordingly. Captivity is in our church world today. Folks, they're bound by something somebody said 25 years ago, 20 years ago. Won't forgive them. You know what? That's simple. You're captive. Bound. But it's also simple to be restored. Shall call on My name, and I will hear. He said, I'll put you back and restore you. How many wants to be restored? I know God's moved in this place tonight. I know He has. But we're living today, and I felt like letting you know about these words here tonight. That captivity is in the church world today. How many knows that? It's time that we come out of captivity. I'm just going to say this. Denominations are going to send a lot of folks to hell. I believe it. First of all, we must be born again. Whatever denomination doesn't believe that, it's false doctrine. It's Jesus and Him only. That's the only way through heaven is through Him. This word's going to have to be it. But we have a lot of people believe in Christ as a Savior and believe a lot of different things. And some believe even that others will not go, even though that they believe in Christ and have been saved, born again, blood bought. And I really feel like that that's a captivity to some people. You know, we can find her. I could get off on a lot of trails here, but church, we're going to the same place. How many knows that? You can call yourself whatever you want to. It doesn't matter if you call yourself Baptist or Presbyterian or Methodist. It doesn't matter. You just got to be born again. Now, there's some deeper walks in the Spirit out there that can we can wade out into, and God can use us in mighty ways. You believe that tonight? It's true. Stand with me, if you would. Captivity in our lives. I'm going to ask the guys and gals to come back, if you would. As I said, God is moving this place. And ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken. And I will hearken. What kind of verb you say that was, Sister Martha? Verb of promise. And shall is what kind of verb? A verb of intent. What's your intent tonight? Shall you pray? Or is your intent to neglect, as I preached on this morning? How shall we escape, as Paul said in Hebrews, how shall we escape so great a salvation if we neglect what he's done for us? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, tonight, thank you for this service. Lord, thank you for your blessings, your anointing in this place. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Lord, touch lives here tonight. Thank you for what we feel and what we felt in this place. Praise you for it tonight. Hallelujah to the Lamb.